So great to be here on a beautiful, beautiful Wednesday evening. We're so excited to have Brother and Sister Demas with us. And in case you're wondering who Brother and Sister Demas, it's not our Brother and Sister Demas, but it's Malachi. It's his grandpa, and it's Phil's dad, Fiona and Phil, and then we have Mr. Josiah hiding back over there. It's his grandma and grandpa. So great to have them here, and they're going to be here with us tonight and then through the weekend, and for our All Nations Sunday, all of our flags are up. Thank you, Brother Phil. It's so great to see. These are all representation of different nations represented here at Calvary Gospel Church, and excited about this. So if you're a guest of ours, whether you're here tonight or online, it's good to see Brother Ward and Sister Ann Meyer back from their month-long vacation to Europe and all over out east, and great to see them back. But you were missed, Brother Ward and Sister Ann. We're so great to have you guys here. And but I'm losing my train of thought here. I got to pull it together. If you're a guest of ours, whether you're online or here, we have out in the kiosk, Sister Nancy Gomez is out there, and she has a small gift for you, and I'd like to fill out, just get some information. If you're online, you can go to our Bitly Connect to CGC or CG and connect with us that way. Also, we have, or we're just wrapping up, a Move the Mission fundraiser for our youth department. And our youth department, they raise funds for our missions, and a lot of this goes to vehicles, and whether it be boats, planes, automobiles, motorcycles, scooters, for our missionaries that are outside of the U.S. borders, all over the world. And our final offering for that will take place at the end of August. So if you normally are saving for that, you'd like to give to that, that'll be the end of August, and so that's coming up. Also, giving options out in the vestibule. We have an offering box out by the kiosk. You can mail it in, go to our website, or you can give right through our Church Center app. Many of you have Church Center apps on your smartphones. So this Sunday is our All Nations Sunday, and we are excited about that. There's going to be some of you are going to get this wrong, okay? So just listen. You probably won't get it wrong. The ones that aren't here yet will get it wrong. There will be no classes, so our All Nations Sunday will start right at 10 a.m. right here in the main sanctuary. So there'll be no life classes, no Sunday school, youth classes. We're all going to meet right here in the sanctuary. It'll be a combined service with our English congregation, our Spanish, and our French congregation. So we are excited about that, but we'll all be here. And at the conclusion of the service, we're going to be taking in the fellowship hall. We're going to have food and fellowship and some games and activities outside. But just like last year, we have about a 60% chance of rain. I know you could say, well, that's a few days off. Earlier in the week, it was zero. So it's headed more that direction of rain. So just pay attention to the weather outlook, okay? Our attire for Sunday is casual. So if you want to just wear blue jeans, T-shirt, whatever you want to wear, just casual, because if there's outside activities, we don't want you to have to be trying to play softball or dodgeball or kickball in your suit and tie. So just pay attention to the weather. And then next Sunday, we have our Family Focus Wednesday. Pastor Peter is our family pastor, Peter and Casey, and they will be dealing or teaching next Wednesday evening. And then next Friday night, that'll be August 11th, we have all church prayer here at 7 p.m. So with that, if we could all stand, and we'd like to just start this service off with prayer, and then Sister Brittany is going to lead us into worship. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for such a beautiful, beautiful day that you have given us. We ask you, Lord, that your hand would be upon us this evening. Bless this service. Bless each and every person that's here or online. Lord, I pray, God, that you would touch Brother Demas as he ministers to us tonight. on how to reach out to people of different cultures. Lord, your body is full of worldwide, of all different kinds of sizes and shapes and colors of people. And Lord, we're all in your kingdom. And we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Sister Brittany.
Except for a heart singing hallelujah.
You can stay standing just for a moment. It is such an honor to have brother and sister Demas here with us tonight. And I remember years ago when brother Demas, they were, I believe, still in Greece. And they had sent their oldest son, Joel, here to college. And Joel and I became close friends. And then Joel said, yeah, my younger brother Phil is coming, and Phil came, and I just didn't connect with Phil at all. And Phil was always Joel's little brother. Remember those days, Phil? I was always Johnny Grant's little brother, so I, and then Joel left, and Phil and I became good friends, and best of friends. He's on our church staff as our administrative pastor now, and a great man. And he's got great parents. And so, brother and sister Demas were missionaries to Greece. I believe they founded the work there in Greece, and a very multicultural church in the Athens. And then they moved on from Greece to Germany, and they. Many years, and they've retired from missions work, but they're still traveling, and it's such an honor to have them here with us on this awesome weekend. So he's going to do some teaching tonight. So Brother Demas, come and teach us. If anybody's looking at the clock up there, it's just now starting of service. So so don't look at the clock in the back, but God bless you, Brother Demas.
Thank you, Brother Grant. So if you don't look at the clock, I will when I get done. Praise God. I grew up on long-winded preaching. Amen. And I'm not very good at 20-minute sermonettes. So if you came for that tonight, you can leave whenever you want to, and the Lord will take care of you. Praise God. But this is something that we can't do every time. But it's important for us to understand. It's so important that after I was not only asked to be with you this Sunday, I was then asked to be with you tonight to teach. And after that call came to be with you on Wednesday night, on Saturday night I was trying to get to sleep, and I had been asleep, but I woke up. And Sunday I have to get up earlier than the rest of the week, and Saturday is a bad night for me normally. And I woke up, and I started thinking about this service. And I started thinking about how do we evangelize the nations. And Brother Seidel, God gave me point one and point two. And by point four, I thought, I can't sleep on this. I got to get up and I got to write these notes down so I don't forget them. Praise God. So these thoughts are the exegesis of what God gave me about midnight or 1 a.m. on a Saturday night about 3 weeks ago. Praise God. Because you see, it's not just enough to say, as we sang tonight, holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. That's in Revelation chapter 4. But by the time you get to Revelation chapter 8, that's where they're singing a new song, and they're saying, you have redeemed us. Who's the us? We who have come by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Praise God. So we worship the Lord who is holy, holy, holy. He is Lord God Almighty, but we've got to reach his world from every tongue and nation and tribe. Amen. Can you say amen? You may be seated. So tonight I'm doing something different than normal Bible teaching on a Wednesday night. I'm specifically by request talking about evangelistic tips for multicultural evangelism. And we want to thank Pastor Roy Grant and Brother Seidel for this invitation to be with you. We love this church. We love Madison. Amen. We appreciate what this church has done for the Lord over many years. And there's more to do yet to come until he comes. Praise God. Amen. It was when I was a teenager that God gave me a couple verses of Scripture one night at about 1:30 in the morning. Paul wrote in Romans 1, verse 14, I'm a debtor. Now, a lot of us could say I'm a debtor, but Paul said it differently. He said, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, to the wise, to the unwise. He wasn't just indebted to one person. He felt an obligation to reach many different people. People he knew and people he didn't know. People he was comfortable with and people he really didn't feel too comfortable with. So as much as in me is, just use what you have. Just use who you are. Just use what you know. But then allow God to multiply it. And God can expand you to preach the gospel to others that are at Rome that you've never even seen or met. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God. It's not your power, it's not mine, it's his power, and it's a power unto salvation. To everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So let's define our terms. Evangelism comes from the Greek word evangelos, evangelium, evangelion. It's the sharing of the good news of Jesus Christ. So the evangelism is the sharing of the evangel. Multicultural defines the focus of our evangelism. People of different cultures, nations, language, and backgrounds. As I sat in Atlanta yesterday, in America, there were not just Anglo-Americans, there were Black Americans, there were Hispanic Americans, there was a couple Muslim ladies who got on our plane, there was a husband and wife or a husband and daughter who came from somewhere in Asia. Amen. I couldn't tell by their food what nationality they're from because they were meeting Annie Auntie's mini pretzels. And then there was a family from India. And down from them, another young man from India. The world has come to America. You don't have to be a missionary by going across the oceans. You could be a missionary by going across the street. You could be a missionary by going downtown and just walking around and looking for folks that don't look like you and that don't speak your language and that you don't recognize. And of course, the Bible is our guide and Jesus is our teacher. Jesus was the master evangelist as well as the master teacher. His example is one worthy of our studies. He came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but he also began to show them little by little how to reach the other folks that they didn't even think could get saved. Now, you may look at some of those folks and you may think, well, I can't reach them. You may even think that God can't reach them. But I'll share you something that maybe Jonathan Mackey shared with you because he did in our church in Greece over 30 years ago. God did not call us to be soil inspectors. So when you look at that person, rich or poor, black or white, no matter their language, don't judge them by what you see. God knows what's in their heart. And when you see that person with a tear coming down their eye, that's your candidate for somebody that needs God. And in stiff, starchy Europe, when I've seen people with the tears in their eyes going through trauma, and I said to that traditional Christian, "Can I pray for you?" I didn't say, "Would you come to our church and I'll pray for you?" No, can I pray for you here in your apartment or here on the street? None of them have ever said no. And when I got done with just a simple prayer, the kind that you could pray, you don't have to be a preacher or pastor to pray that kind of a prayer, they had felt the touch of God. Evangelism is God's hand through your hand reaching out to them to just touch somebody. Praise God. The first thing we have to do is we have to open our eyes. We have to open our eyes from America to the internationals, from our friends to his friends, from saints to sinner, from people who have the gospel and know the gospel, amen, to people who have never heard of the gospel. Matthew 9, verse 36, tells us that when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And when Jesus saw the multitudes, then he says in the very next verse, the harvest is plenteous. So what do you see, multitudes or harvest? Do you see a crowd or do you see people, individuals, souls in need of God? Praise God. In John chapter 4, and you know most of you these verses. In John chapter 4, as Jesus is dealing with the woman at the well and his disciples came, amen, he says to them in John 4 verse 35, don't you say, it was a custom of their day, it was a saying of their day, there are yet 4 months and then comes the harvest. But I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Do we see the fields? Do we see the crowds? Or do we see the harvest? Open our eyes. Help us to understand what God sees. Look for the individual, not just the fields. I remember singing a chorus in my college days, and you probably sang it in those days here as well. Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I ever do my part to win that soul to thee. You may remember the great home Bible teacher, Jack Yance. He made this statement in teaching about home Bible studies. Pray for God to give you the right direction to the right person. Yes, there's a field. Yes, there's a multitude. But you can't reach them all at once. So pray, God, who do you want me to reach? You know the hungry heart. You know the needy heart. You know the person that I am able to reach. Maybe we've got something in common, or maybe we don't. Janet Erskine Stewart, I don't think she's part of the Stewarts from Scotland royalty. She says this, the way to do much in a short time is to love much. People will do great things if they are stirred with enthusiasm and love. Evangelism tip next. Look for tips and clues in our field of potential harvest. Clothing, language, accent, the newspaper they carry, their license plate. Now, maybe that's not going to work so much here looking for license plates. Except if you see a license plate in Germany named Stein or Schatzi, the likelihood is that they are definitely 1,000% German. So they know how to say Jawohl, even if they don't know how to say you betcha. Praise God. In Germany and in Europe, I believed in license plate evangelism. If I would see a car from France, I didn't give them a German tract or an Italian tract. I looked for one of my French tracks. In Athens, I learned that number 17 was the number of the embassy of America in Greece. And so, except for the number 17-1 ambassador's car, which I didn't dare touch, if I saw a number 17 embassy American car, they get an English tract, not a Greek tract. If I see a Christian bumper sticker, or a fish symbol, I know they're a believer. So then I go deep sea fishing. I don't give them just an evangelism tract. Amen. Jesus loves you. Amen. God so loved the world. No, I give them a big lure. And I give them something like, you know, the name of Jesus in baptism. I give them a heavy duty tract. If I see somebody with their New World Translation, I'll try to convince them to take a tract about the oneness of God. And they usually don't want to take tracts from you, though they want to sell you their newspapers. But when they see the oneness tract, amen, about half the time, they'll take it because we believe in one God and they believe in one God. If you know who they are, it helps you to know how to reach them. We had a student in our language class as we were studying Greek, Mufid from Egypt. Now, the name doesn't tell me whether he's Muslim or Christian. But one day, as I was sitting not far from him, he opened his briefcase, and there was a big 8x10 picture of the Lord's Supper. Muslims don't carry pictures of the Lord's Supper in their briefcase, right? Now I know he's a Christian. Now I can talk to him as a Christian of some sort of a believer. The end of that story, about a year or a year and a half later, is we baptized Mofid in the saving name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to our very first student evangelism outreach service, amen, from which three people were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to look for tips and clues, and then we need to know the audience. Amen. We need to consider the country, the language, the religious background that they come from. We need to know something about the basic world religions and something about each of them. Amen. Do they believe in one God? Do they believe in many? I used to lie by saying that the Hindus believed in 3 million gods. And then I found out, no, they believe in actually 300 million gods. Big difference from Muslims who believe in one God. When you look at somebody from India, you don't know if they believe in 300 million Hindu gods or if they believe in one Muslim god, or they might be from Kerala state and they believe in Christianity. Amen. And so if you don't know, you can just ask people these questions. Amen. Social customs. When you're visiting somebody, do you bring candy, flowers, or coffee? We found out when you go to visit people in Austria, you don't take flowers or candy, you take coffee. We found out in Greece, when you take sweets to the Greek families, guess what? They might not serve it to you. They'll wait till you're gone. And here you got your favorite sweet. Oh, but they're going to serve it to you. And they're waiting till you're gone. So they have more for themselves. So you need to know your audience. In Greece, you don't put your hand up like that facing someone, because that's, you know, a no-no. In Arabic countries, when you cross your legs, you don't put the bottom of your shoe facing someone. That is a no-no. You keep your face down. In Arab countries, you don't shake anybody's left hand. That's a no-no. We learn that all Anglicans are not the same. Now, Anglicans, that's the Church of England. And we had in our church at the same time in Athens, people from the Church of England in England, and people from the Church of England in Nigeria. And the Anglicans from England were very stuff and starchy, good folks. Amen. Jeff Hicks made good curry, but a little bit reserved. My Anglicans from Nigeria, they were half Pentecostal before they ever came to a Pentecostal church. At one time in our church, we had four Johns. I'm not talking about the WC. I'm talking about John from Lebanon, John from Greece, John from Colombia, who we only had for 48 hours, but in those 48 hours, we baptized him in Jesus' name, and we had John Blackmore from England. So just because their name is John, you've got to approach them differently. You've got to reach out to them differently, praise God. And Paul understood these differences, Jews and Greek and wise and unwise, but he made the comment in verse 16, but the one salvation is for all of them. So we don't change salvation because their language is different or their custom is different. The heart is the same. We need to appreciate these cultural differences. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 18, I will preach the gospel that I make the gospel of Christ without charge. And in verse 19, he says, for though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant to all, that I might gain the more. I'm a Roman citizen, but I'll evangelize the slaves. I'll reach out to them wherever they are, whoever they are. To the Jews, I became as a Jew. He talked about the Old Testament to the Jews, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. But to those that don't have the law, the not the Jews, the Gentiles, verse 21, without the law, he says, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might be all means save some. And I do this, verse 23, for the gospel's sake. So, don't try and look condescendingly down at people as you teach them. Jesus came down to our level because we couldn't get up to his. So just reach the people at their level, not yours. If you're used to using a King James Version and they don't understand what meanest thou theest and thous and the therefores, just get an NIV or get some translation that they can understand, because the salvation is there in any Bible. It's in a Roman Catholic Douay Version. It's in the New World Translation. In fact, you need to be ready for the folks from Salt Lake City and show them that Jesus' name baptism is mentioned as many times in the Book of Mormon as it is in the King James Version. Amen. Amen. Reach out to them wherever they are. Learn from your people. Amen. You have the gospel. They don't, but they know some things that you may not know. Amen. All Africa is not the same, for instance. All Asia is not the same. All Europe is not the same. Amen. England is not Ireland. Ireland is not Scotland. And Scotland is not Wales, even though parts of that are all the United Kingdom. We need to understand the differences. When you go to Poland from Wisconsin, Sister Martha, you don't tell Polish jokes that you learned in Milwaukee. That's not going to help you preach the gospel. Praise God. Amen. You need to know the difference between Francophone and Anglophone Africa, between East and West Africa. I was in a service in Miami some years ago with an Hispanic pastor from Colombia. Now, for me, I may think, Brother Seidel, that, you know, all Hispanics are the same. They all speak English. Gloria a Dios. Solo un camino. In his church that night, he had people from 13 to 16 different nationalities. And he said, they're not all alike. You've got to know the differences. In Florida, we don't accuse people of Cuban ancestry of being from Puerto Rico. It won't work. So, you know, don't diffuse the situation and get away from the possibility to share the gospel with some ignorance. And so that's what helps us to know who these people are and know something about them. And we can do that by learning to drink tea and eat their food. In the U.S., I never drank iced tea. The first time I ever had iced tea was at Johnny Tanberg's house with my future wife up near Eau Claire. I still don't drink iced tea. Sorry, Brother Tanberg. Amen. But I learned the difference between cold iced tea and British hot tea. I don't drink tea with cream in it like the Brits and the Canucks. I learned to drink tea from my Arab students in glass glasses with no handle and just sugar. And I hate Earl Grey tea. But if a potential convert offers me Earl Grey tea, I will drink it gladly for the sake of the gospel. Amen. And if they don't bring me sugar, if they don't offer me sugar, I'll drink the tea without sugar. Praise God. Amen. Because I'm wanting to win somebody. I'm wanting to build a bridge. And if drinking tea, hot tea, black tea, is going to help me build a bridge to somebody, that's what I'll do. I learned the difference between black tea and oolong tea and rooibos tea from South Africa and Rhodesia. And I don't like rooibos tea either, but I'll drink it. If I can win somebody from Zimbabwe and South Africa, praise God, at a crossroads potlucks, my wife fixed American food and sometimes Greek food. Our Africans thought that her sweet salad with Jell-O and whipping cream and cottage cheese, they thought that was dessert. Amen. They didn't know that was an American salad. And then I remember when Sister Moulinesh brought me some Ethiopian food. Now, y'all been to the dentist, right? You've all had Novocaine? Well, the first time I had Ethiopian food that Sister Moulinesh fed me by hand, literally, that red sauce on the outside of whatever it was gave me Novocaine pricks on my mouth lips for 5 solid minutes. But a few years later, we were in a church in Oakland, California, an Ethiopian church that had started in Sister Moulinesh's apartment in Oakland. So I'll eat Ethiopian food if I could help reach somebody for the sake of the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to learn patience in international evangelism. We need to learn to wait. Amen. You might have to pray for the fruit of long suffering that Paul wrote about in the book of Galatians. Don't expect them to come to God on American timetable. Evangelical Christians say that in France it takes about 5 years to reach a French person. Five. Un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq. 5 years. And that's to bring them to just a nominal believing gospel, not a saving, born again gospel. Amen. To reach Muslims, it may take 1, 2, 3, 5 years. Or they may be ready. Their heart may be ready. And they believe in one God. So that gives us a bridge. That gives us an advantage. That gives us a common identity right there that we could build from. We don't know how long it was for Saul to come to conversion after hearing the anointed funeral message of Stephen the Evangelist in Acts chapter 7. Was it 7 weeks? 7 months or 3 years? But when the Lord came to him, the Lord says, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Ananias didn't know that. You don't know it. God may be dealing with them before you ever meet them. Somebody may have testified to them before you come along with a saving gospel message. Praise God. We do not know what God is doing to reach people. Amen. Through our testimony and our Bible study and what he's done before. I think of 2 Nigerians that came to the crossroads in Athens, Greece. We're having a special service, and Brother Okala came, a Nigerian student. And that day, both he and another brand new Nigerian student received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now remember, God didn't call us to be soil inspectors. The second student never came back, even though he got the Holy Ghost. Brother Okala never quit coming. Amen. Today, he's pastoring a daughter church in London, East London, in England, praise God. His daughter, Blessing, who we blessed in dedication in Athens, Greece, 30-some years ago, ended up meeting and marrying a spiritual grandson of this church, Brother Mark Crowder, whose parents we met here in this church years ago. Praise God. Brother Akala's heart was open. It was open because he had a little boy die. He had a little boy suffer. He didn't understand it, but it prepared his heart for him to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And today, he's a preaching missionary. Amen. In his own city of London where he lives. Brother Gold came in. I told you probably some years ago what Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Well, we couldn't say that in Athens because we had gold in our church. Not in the offering, but Brother Gold was a Nigerian student. He heard the message, Brother Grant. He heard Jesus' name baptism. He heard you must be born again of water and spirit. Nothing. Finally, he gets a dream 2 years later. Oh, Pastor, I've got to get baptized in Jesus' name. Well, that's what I've been telling you for 2 years. Keep loving him. Keep reaching him. Keep praying for him. Amen. And if they're sincere, whether quickly or not quickly, they'll eventually come to Bible salvation. Amen. Part of this is just to build a bridge of friendship. I've got an entire book on friendship evangelism. Build the bridge before you teach, preach doctrine. If you don't build a bridge, you might go off a cliff. You're going so fast with the gospel, but there's no bridge between you and them. They don't know who you are. They don't know where Calvary Gospel is. They don't know what you believe. You tell them you got to be born again. Yeah? I can't figure out how to be born the first time. How can I be born again the second time? It's exactly what Nicodemus said, and he was learned it. He was spiritual. He knew the Old Testament Bible. He didn't have the bridge. And so we have to build a bridge to people. And so we asked them about ourselves. One of the best things we did in Athens was to get a world atlas, a big world atlas. And we take that to the church on Saturday night for coffee and conversation. What's coffee and conversation? It's drinking hot tea. It's drinking coffee. It's talking to people. It's building a bridge. It's just being nice to people that you've never met before. Oh, you're from Nepal, really? Where is Nepal? Well, let's show you. We get out the atlas and we look to find out where Nepal is. And then, oh, you're from Kathmandu in Nepal, really? Oh, that's why your nickname is Cat Wells from England. True story. At that point, I have sense enough not to ask him, and what is your profession? Because the chances are, Cat Wells from Kathmandu, Nepal, was a drug runner. So you don't ask some questions. Amen? But you're building a bridge, and friendship could take time. Brother Jim Yowie was led to go out to Rapid City and start a work there, which still continues. He had a lady come in and get saved. Great example. I remember it from the time he spoke on this at ABI many years ago. The lady got saved. The husband was not interested in salvation, wasn't interested in coming to church. But Pastor Yowie found out the husband liked archery. So all of a sudden, Pastor Yowie decided to learn how to be an archer. And he had the man teach him bow and arrow. And I don't know if they went to classes together or just the lady's husband began to teach Brother Yowie. And after 6 months or 12 months or 18 months, that man had now come into the church. Amen. The man didn't have anything in common with the Pentecostal preacher, but Brother Yowie says, I'm going to find a bridge. I'm going to build a bridge over a bow and arrow. And I don't know if he ever did a thing with that later in his life or in his ministry, but the bow and arrow was a bridge. Never forget being with my wife's brother and sister-in-law in Seattle. Now, these are good Lutheran folks. And since the days of Martin Luther, I don't know how many of them are heavy into evangelism. Okay? But they believe the Bible. They're Christians. And in their Lutheran church in Seattle, every month or every 2 months, I think it was every 2 months, they would have three church families get together, the couples, for dinner. And the night we were there, it was at my brother-in-law's house, and they would invite a guest couple from the community. What are they doing? They're building a bridge to the outsider over apple pie and coffee. And you may not be able to give somebody a full course dinner. To somebody who's a gourmet chef, you may feel like, you know, your American food is something that they're going to disdain. But you can invite them for apple pie and coffee. They say that international students who come to America will most likely begin to attend the church of the first people that invite them to the house or invite them to a meal or invite them to an event. And so here you have a special event between now and Sunday. Who can you meet that you don't know today? And you will just say, hey, we got a special celebration at our church this Sunday. Amen. We're having a Florida preacher. But if you don't want to come for the preacher, you come for the apple pie and coffee, because we're going to have some good food, American food, Hispanic food, French food. We're going to have some pancit and lumpia, praise God, and just see if they will come, because people are looking for fellowship. They're looking for contact. There's more people who are alone out there than you can imagine. And if you will show them the bridge and the love of Jesus Christ, you can win them. Matthew 9, verse 9 to 12, after Jesus had called Matthew the apostle to be his disciple, he went to Matthew's house and he sat at the house with many publicans and sinners. They came down, as well as his disciples. The Pharisees saw it. They said, why is your master eating with publicans and sinners? He said, because those that behold need not a physician, but they that are sick. Reach out and touch somebody for coffee house evangelism, black tea evangelism, iced tea evangelism, whatever it is. Another tip you can use is use questions effectively. Learn to ask the right questions. Some questions you don't ask, as I already mentioned, like what's your occupation, or, you know, how much does this car cost? And in Germany, you don't ask about religion or politics. You don't get too personal, especially with people of the opposite sex. Amen. How have you been baptized? Amen. You can ask that, but you might not get the answer you're expecting. Do not ask them, especially if they are an international student or somebody from the third world, have you been baptized in the name of Jesus? Because they don't know the difference. And they'll respect you as an Anglo-American and as the elder, and they'll say, oh, yes. They don't know how they are baptized. Most Americans can't remember how they were baptized 35 years ago. Amen. Ask them how. Ask them where. Ask them what church. Ask them what did the person say. Praise God. You can ask the questions, but then you've got to wait for their questions. One night at Coffee House Evangelism at the crossroads in Athens, Greece, new convert Sam Fiorentino came, who was spirit-filled. We had a small number that night, only about three or four or five of us. John Blackmore came for the first time, a seaman from England. And John says, well, now what is this? Well, I didn't say it's a church. We were a church, but we were also a Christian center, a center of love, a center of fellowship, a center of friendship, a center to teach people English, a center to help lonely people be away from home and find a family away from home. And so John asked that question, and then he said, now, if I come to this place, what do I have to do? Well, I don't like to make it a matter of what you have to do. And while I'm trying to think diligently, what can I tell him nicely? Sam Fiorentino, my new convert, says, if you come here, you've got to start paying your tithes. I hid under the table. Sam, don't tell him. It's his first time here. Within 6 weeks, John Blackmore was paying his tithes. Within 8 weeks, his Greek-English wife had returned from the island, and she'd become to church. And today, 40 years later, that couple is still going on to the Lord. They're serving the Lord. They're preaching the gospel. They're licensed with a church in the United Kingdom. And God is blessing them. Praise God. Amen. Wait for their questions, but let God guide you what answer to give them. Quickly now, look for divine opportunities. Jesus said in Revelation 3, I've set before you an open door. Amen. Because you have a little strength. God doesn't open the door because we're so spiritual. Amen. You just got a little strength. God can use you. Praise God. God wants to give us an open door. We need to pray for the open door and believe that God will give that to us. Every contact can be a key person in the kingdom of God. Every visitor represents an eternal soul for eternal salvation. Every person can be a door of opportunity to a family, a group, a city, or even more. Philip was in a citywide revival in Samaria. And the angel said, I don't know how, don't ask me, it doesn't say in the Bible. Philip, go to the desert. What? Did I hear that correctly? Go to the desert? I'm in a city with revival, and I'm supposed to leave the revival and go to the desert? Yeah, you heard right. God sent me to tell you to go there. Doesn't make sense, but he went. And you know the rest of the story. There was a man. And as he came close to the man, who wasn't a Hebrew, didn't speak Hebrew, but he knew enough to read a Bible in whatever language, maybe Greek, maybe the Greek Septuagint. Amen. Philip came and asked the right question. After the Lord told him to join himself, Philip says, do you know what you are reading? And then the Ethiopian asked the question, how can I? And with a series of questions and answers, then the Ethiopian asked the question, oh, nato, idu, water. Amen. What does hinder me from being baptized? Somehow, when Philip preached Jesus, he brought in the message of baptism. We met Constantine Economides, and I'm winding up here, a Greek from Zaire. One day he told me about a man he met at the embassy of Zaire. Constantine wasn't Pentecostal, but he was a Christian believer, an evangelical. He wasn't Greek Orthodox. He told me about the man that he met at the embassy from Zaire, who was the first secretary. That means he's just under the ambassador. The man was also a believer, and the man was a Pentecostal. This man came to our church, and then I went to that man's house. Amen. He had his French Bible. I had my English Bible. Amen. I don't remember if we had black tea or what we had. But I said to him, avez-vous le baptême de l'eau? Have you been baptized in water? How has it been? And through a series of questions and answers, I showed him le nom du Père et le Jésus, le nom du Fils et le Jésus, et le nom du Saint-Esprit et le Jésus. And within 2 or 3 weeks after that night, amen, we baptized not only Frère Marcel Bowie, but 5 people associated with the Zaire Embassy in the saving name of Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Final tip, be sensitive to the Spirit. That's what it's all about. This is not just for international evangelism. This is for us Wisconsinites reaching Wisconsinites. Be sensitive to the Spirit. You may know the language, you may know their nationality, but God knows the heart and God knows the mind. Amen. Pastor Larry Arrowood in Seymour, Indiana, recently on Easter Sunday had four different nationalities that they had to translate in little small town Seymour. One of those nationalities was Japanese, one was French, in Spanish. And he told me how they began to reach the Hispanics in their community. His son and wife felt led to reach out to a little girl, 6 to 8 years of age. And over 2 years, they cultivate a relationship with that little girl. And then that girl began to teach them evangelizing. And then she would say, "Oh, here's some of our people. Here's somebody from my country." And they began to reach out and knock on doors of Hispanic people in little Seymour, Indiana. From one little girl, not only did she come to Sunday school, not only were her parents saved, but 60 people in the church in Seymour came. Because Brother Andrew was sensitive to the Spirit of God. There's a people to reach. There's people in Madison. There's people in Dane County. There's people in your neighborhood. Amen. And if you don't know what to do, just sow the seed. Cast your bread upon the waters, because God will bless the seed that you sow. Because the message of salvation that you hear every Sunday at Calvary Gospel Church is the message that will save people from all around the world. Let's stand, shall we? And if you want to apply this, I just ask you to come and just ask the Lord to help you understand better how you can reach your community. Ask the Lord to help you meet somebody this week, and you can invite them to come to this church this Sunday for service as well as for fellowship. Amen. Praise God on All Nations Sunday. Tell them that they are chosen. Amen. That God chose you to reach them, because God has chosen them to salvation. Oh God, we need your help. It's not something we could do intellectually. It's not something we could do, Lord, through books. It's not something we could do through intellect. It's not something we could do through cultural awareness. That may help, but oh God, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us. We need the fruit of the Spirit to help us as we reach out to these people. We need the gifts of the Spirit, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, to give us words of wisdom, words of knowledge, words of discernment. Lord, we need miracle faith. We need healing. Lord, we need the gifts of the Spirit, Lord, because you've got a people to reach, and help us to reach them for your name's sake, we pray. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you for these people that have come forward and others that are praying in their pews. Oh God, open our eyes, open our hearts, open our pocketbooks, Lord. And oh God, help us to be ready for the revival that you've got to come. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord.
The Lord is upon me.
Hallelujah.
His anointing is empowering. The kingdom of the Lord is within me, and he's calling. Just like heaven on earth.
Thank you so very much, Brother Demas, for ministering to us tonight. Just, I'm going to throw this out there. We have so many people from different nationalities in this church. And if you work with someone or have a neighbor, someone you know, and you're not for sure how to reach them, find someone in the church that might have that information. It'll help you get to know them better. And one of my devotions I read this past week, and it really hit me. Because so many times we think that we have to win one soul by ourselves. That's our responsibility. But that's not really how God set it up. God set it up for us as a community to win souls and to help each other win souls. So if you have a neighbor, you have a friend, you have a coworker, and you're not for sure where to go, and they're from the Philippines or some place like that, we have folks here, brothers and sisters, that would say, hey, I'll help you. Get together for coffee, for tea, apple pie, ice cream, whatever it may be, and work together. Work together. That's why our connection groups are so important, because you can bring someone and the other people in that connection group are helping you win that soul. So God bless you. We are so excited to have the Demases here. Looking forward to Sunday. And Brother Jerry Simmons has got food planned for us. And we're excited about that. And Brother Demas will be preaching here, speaking in the main sanctuary. And it'll be a combined service, casual attire. God bless you, and we will see you here on Sunday.